Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. Wish everybody a happy Sunday. Truly, it's a blessing to be able to be with you again this morning. First Word, we're in our sanctuary studio up early in the morning, and we want to just thank God for everyone who's tuning in, listening in, and going to the archives to hear what we are speaking with as far as men's ministry, men's training, and dealing with men being accountable. So we want to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and to study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, God, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, God, that we can be workmen, that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We just want to continue to look at the role of the man in God's plan. And it's obvious that too many times, especially in the role of the man in church and the role of the man in family, that he is not being accountable. He's not living up to his God-given role. And so, you know, this is what the first word is. The first word is about getting men to understand that God has a role, a plan, and a purpose for our lives, and that he is looking for us to be able to contribute in that role in his plan. And it's one of those things where no one else can take the role but the man, and so we have to get our mindset correct that this is something that God wants us to do. Now, the last few weeks, we've been looking at how God instructed the man in Genesis, the second chapter, to be able to have dominion over his creation. And he gave him specific instructions to stay away from a tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, God gave him the ability to choose. And so God placed in this garden the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So man would not be a robot, but man would have the ability to choose his own free will, whether he would listen to God and obey God's command or not. And so this is where God said, okay, I want him to have his own free will. I want him to be able to obey me because he loves me because of our relationship. The man, he chose not to obey God. Now, the word says that the woman was deceived, and the man wasn't deceived, but he was disobedient. And so sin is sin, but it was the woman who was deceived. And so in this plan, these characters of Satan, this character of Adam, this character of Eve, the man and the woman, there's always this plan of Satan to try to deceive and try to get mankind, the woman and the man, to not believe God and to disobey God, to be disobedient to God. And so this plan, Satan works, it works very well down through the years. And so men have to say, okay, I can no longer leave my wife exposed to the enemy. I can no longer let her be in a position where she can be deceived. And so I have to step to the forefront. And so if anything comes against my family, comes against what God has said, then I should be able to go to God, go to God's altar, talk to God, get instructions for God, and be able to deal with whatever the situation is in my family. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to be able to not live in a perfect world, not be perfect, but be able to go to him and get the instructions to be able to deal with the situation. And I think that is where we as men are coming up short, is that we're not going back to God often enough. We're not getting in the place where we're seeking God often enough to deal with the crazy stuff that's going on in our lives. And, you know, once we start getting that in our mindset, is that this is our source, this is our resource, this is our answer, then I think we can begin to start being the men and the God. And one of the greatest things that we have to understand is that God loves us, and God doesn't want us to be in a situation where we're helpless or can't do anything about it. And so what God does is he takes the role and he demonstrates to us what he's willing to go through. And that's what we're going to talk about today, what God is willing to go through to be able to help us to be victorious, what he's willing to go through to be able to bring us back into proper relation with him. Let me say that again. What God is willing to go through, what lengths he's willing to go through to bring us back into a proper relationship with him, to bring us back into the right position with him. He's willing to go so far that we should be mindful that whatever the situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, God wants to make it right. God wants it to work out for our good. And so once we understand that, then we can begin to start by faith, trusting God more, trusting his word, trusting his plan, that he can and he has the answers to deal with whatever is going on in our lives. And that's what then, you know, we really need that understanding. We really need that comfort. We really need that backing, if you will, to say, hey, this is a tough situation. This is a brutal situation, but I can go to God and I can talk to God, and now God will give me the proper instructions, the ability to be able to do it. That's my role as the man of my house, to put a covering on my family, to be there so they're not exposed to the enemy, to be able to seek and trust and believe in God and apply his word to the situation, and have enough faith that no matter what time is going to happen, he's going to step up in his word and cause it to come to fruition. And so we want to look at that today in Genesis, the third chapter. We want to see what God did and how far he went to bring man back into the right relationship with him. If you want to be a part of this conversation before we get to that word, if you want to be a part of our conversation this morning, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. I know some of you are on the web or some of you might be getting it through the archives. But if you picked it up later on today in the archives, or if you're on the web and you want to call in, the number is 347-324-5569, and then just push 1 if you have a comment on the subject or if you want to talk to the host. It looks like we have a caller on the line right now, so we're going to see if we can get to the caller. Last 4 digits, I'll be calling out of the phone number, is 4061. If you're 4061 and you want to have a comment, We invite you. You're on the air right now. 4061, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling in this morning. Just wanted to talk this morning, and you can, I'm going to leave you on the line if you want to jump in. But I wanted to talk to the men and talk to us this morning about understanding how far God will go, is going to go, in order to bring mankind back into the proper relationship with Him. It's amazing to see how we trust in so many other different things, but what we really need to do is trust in God to understand that God's willing to go all the way to bring us back into the relationship with Him. And so when we look at Genesis, the third chapter, we see in verse 20, it says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." And then in verse 21, he says, "Unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." And so this is the point that we wanted to discuss, is that God just didn't leave his creation, his man and his woman in a sinful state, in a lost state. But God went into action to bring them back into the right relationship with Him. And so when we look at that verse 21, it says that God made coats of skins and clothed them. So in other words, God made a covering for sin. In other words, God realized that man had no way of his own to be able to get back to the right relationship with God. And so this is, Dr. Grimes, this is where men have to understand there's going to be difficult days in our lives, difficult challenges, but we have to be able to trust God enough to believe that God wants it to work out for our good, and that God is willing to go to any length or any extreme to be able to bring us back into the right relationship. And so that's good news for men, but if we don't know that, if the enemy can keep us from knowing that, then we won't turn to God. And so what God did was, when a man was in his lost state, he had to make coats of skin. In other words, he was willing to sacrifice an innocent animal. That animal had to die, the animal had to bleed, the animal had to lose its skin in order to cover the sin of mankind. And so that's God's plan of salvation. That's God's plan of bringing us back into the right relationship with Him, is that He would take an innocent life, shed the blood of an innocent life, and cover mankind. And so that's the length that God would go through. He says that I love my man and my woman so much that I'm ready to cover them. I'm ready to go to the ultimate length with them to bring them back into the relationship with me, because God desires to have that relationship and fellowship with us. And so that's what He's willing to do. And I think if we as men begin to understand that, then we would be more willing to go back to God with whatever the situation is in our lives, or in our families, or in our churches, or in our communities, because we know that God has the answer. Do you have anything to add with that, Dr. Graham?
No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I do one thing, I guess, you know, when you were talking about the having the faith to believe, because it's funny, as human beings, the human mind, there's so many things that we believe in that we can't see, like
right.
oxygen that we
yeah.
use to breathe. Though we can't see it, we know that it exists and that we breathe
mm-hmm.
carbon dioxide. We cannot
mm-hmm.
see, but we know if we were in a garage and the doors were
mm-hmm.
down and the car was running, that we would be subject
yeah.
to dying, because carbon monoxide is real. And
yeah.
though we can't see it, we acknowledge that it's real. But so
mm-hmm.
many people refuse to acknowledge a God who we can see the works that He's done clearly,
mm-hmm.
more so than oxygen, more so than carbon dioxide, yet people continue to refuse to acknowledge that He is God.
Right, right. It's the same thing with food. We eat food because we know that it brings nourishment to our body and it will sustain us to live, but we don't know how the digestive tract works. We don't know how through science we know how it works, but we can't see it. We can't see how it gets delivered to the stomach and then goes to the various organs and gets delivered and changed into carbohydrates and delivered to the muscles, to the bloodstream, to oxygen, and all those things. But we believe that if we eat it, it's going to get through all those things that we can't see in order for the body to live. And that's an excellent point that you bring out. But in this thing of where God, the lengths that God would go through to save someone, to bring someone back into the proper relationship with him that just willfully disobeyed. That is an ultimate thing that God does that I don't think man has really grasped. With that God wants things to work out for your good, so much so that he's willing to take the lead on it and do whatever it takes. And I know that was one of the sermons that you had talked to me about, that God is working with you, Dr. Grimes. You said whatever it takes that you were willing to do. But in this situation, we see that God is doing the same thing, whatever it takes. What do you think about that?
I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you that I never quite looked at it like that. But like you said, God is doing whatever it takes. And I think it speaks to the kind of God we serve, to the love that he has. That's what separates God from us. I mean, among many things. But the fact that human beings, we are so quick to, if someone offends us, if someone does something to us that we don't like, then we're quick to cut people off. And the last thing would be for us to then go and do whatever it took to restore the relationship. However, God says even when it's not my fault, and it's never going to be his fault, even though messed up, I love you enough that I still want you to have what I have for you. I still want you to have abundant life. I still want to bless you. And so even though you have sinned against me, I love you enough that I'm going to go and take the lead and do whatever it takes to get you back into the place where I can bless you.
Oh, my God.
And gosh. I think that is how awesome God is.
That's how awesome God is. And If what do you think, if we as men could understand that, you know, we really shouldn't beat ourselves up, we shouldn't beat anybody else up, but we should be getting back to God's example and realizing that, you know, God understands how we're made. God understood that man was going to fall. He understood that the woman was going to be deceived. He understood that Satan was going to bring challenges. But none of this caught God off guard. You know what I'm saying? It didn't take him by surprise, and so when situations come up in our lives, as far as with our families, with our churches, with our jobs, in our communities, the first thing that I believe as men we should retract back to is, or keep refreshing our mind, is that this didn't take God by surprise. This wasn't something that he wasn't aware of. This wasn't something that just jumped up and God said, oh, my, I need to do something about it. He understands our frame. He understands our makeup. And he has a plan in place to be able to deal with. That's what I mean by the altar of God. That's the presence of God. That's seeking his face. That's getting up and saying, okay, God, this is the situation. Let me go to you. I know this didn't take you by surprise. I know you have the answer to it. Help me to understand or to know. Give me the wisdom and knowledge of what this is, how I should deal with it. Give me the strength to be able to deal with it until it comes out to a place where you want it to be. And I think that's the what the first word is trying to do, is trying to get us as men to say, all right, it didn't take God. It might have caught me off guard, but it didn't take God off guard. And so I'm not going to try to handle this thing on my own, but I'm going to turn to God and turn to his word, turn to his spirit, turn to his ability and his resource to be able to help me to deal with this thing. And in that, I think we can begin to start making progress in our roles as leaders of our family, churches, and our community. Dr. Graham.
I agree. I think that, you know, there are so many people, especially men, who are struggling and, you know, living everyday life. And I think that it's partially because people refuse to acknowledge that mm-hmm. until we get to a place in our life, any life, that mm-hmm. we acknowledge that God is first, you can't be blessed. And so if you're not acknowledging him and you're not following him, then we'll continue to struggle. But when we get to a place where, like you said, we can realize that this, whatever this is, whatever situation we find ourselves in, however our life is at this present day, when we realize that it might have caught us off guard, this might not have been how we mm-hmm. saw ourselves mm-hmm. 20 years ago, mm-hmm. this wasn't the plan that we saw, this wasn't the idea of who we thought we would be. But when we mm-hmm. realize that it didn't catch God off guard and that God had mm-hmm. a plan,
yeah.
Then if we can get the men to realize that, then we as men can then say, okay, God, I yield. See, the problem with a lot of the brothers mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. we want to be in charge. We want to do mm-hmm. it our way, and we don't want to really listen to anybody else. And so until we give up our will, because you started out speaking about the free will that God has given us and the ability to mm-hmm. make choices. And so until we as men realize and decide that it can't be my will, but it's got to be mm-hmm. his will. But when we give up our will and yield mm-hmm. our will to his will, mm-hmm. then that's when we can walk into being that person that God wants us to be. The battle's already been fought. The victory's already been won, but mm-hmm. but we sometimes refuse to walk in victory. We get so caught up in feelings and emotions and the day to day stuff. We hold on to the things that have happened in our life. We hold on to who's wronged us and who's done this, and a lot of times we play the blame game. I talked to a young man yesterday, and everything that he said out of his mouth, it all revolved back to it was somebody else's fault that he was mm-hmm. where he is today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we have to realize that we also have accountability because God has given us free will. So sometimes people do things to us, but a lot of times we do some things to ourselves to put ourselves in some of the positions that we're in. But even no matter how far away we get, like you said, we can always get back to where God wants us to be because he's willing to do whatever it takes to bring us all the way back.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm glad you touched on that. That's what we were talking about on last week, about that blame game. And, you know, it always goes back that, you know, this was their first encounter that Satan, God, Adam and Eve in Genesis had with God, and Satan played his role as a deceiver. The woman was deceived. God gave the instruction to the man, and then man blamed God. Let's look back at Genesis 3rd chapter and verse 12. Let's go back to verse 11. Genesis 3rd chapter, verse 11. It says, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee? Now, he didn't talk about the devil. He didn't talk about Satan. He didn't talk about the woman. God put the responsibility square on the man's shoulder. He said, I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat. And so here's the responsibility that man has is to go against the devil, is to lead, you know, a resistance to the enemy and to lead his wife. And so God, he didn't step to the woman. He didn't step to the Satan. He stepped to the man first. And so the man, under this awesome responsibility, in verse 12, he did exactly what you said. This young man that you were talking to said, In verse 12, it says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So in other words, he's blaming the woman and he's blaming God. So that's in the makeup of man. It's in his makeup. It's in his DNA, if you will, that when the pressure gets on, when the storms of life come, he has a tendency, Dr. Graham, to be able to blame everyone else instead of looking at himself. And so one of the things that we're trying to do with the first word is tell men is that, you know, where were we, you know, when these things happened? You know, they happened. What were we doing? What was our role? What was our responsibility? Why didn't we reiterate what God said? Why didn't we go back to what God said to understand that God is doing whatever will do whatever it takes? So I wouldn't have to blame the woman. So I wouldn't have to blame God. So I wouldn't have to be disobedient when Satan says what God says is a lie. And so that's where we as men have to get to, is that God's not going to step to anybody else. He's not going to step to Satan. He's not going to step to the woman. He's not going to step to anybody else. He said, I gave you the command. I put you in charge. I made you the leader. And you have the word of God. You have the spirit of God to be able to deal with these situations. And when we stand by faith in that, then we can come against, we can resist the devil. We can come against the deceptions that our wives or anyone else comes up with. You know, Job had to tell his wife she sounded like a foolish one. You know, we can't accept good from God as well as evil. He had to tell her that. His situation was dire. He was in a bad situation physically, but he still had his integrity, or he still had his faith in God, that when his wife told him to curse God and die, he told her, you sound like one of the foolish women. And then he went to the word. He said, God gave us good and God gave us bad, you know. You know, we can't accept that from God, and you know he didn't buy into the thing of the Satan. You know, was putting this thing on his physical body, and he didn't blame God. You know, and so that's where men have to get to the point. Stop having the pity party, stop blaming God, stop pointing the finger at the woman, but get to the point to say God has given us the ability to be able to have dominion over the earth that He's created. He put us in charge. And He's given us the instruction. And so He's not going to go to the one that's not in charge. He's not going to go to the woman. He's not going to go to the serpent because they're not in charge. We have been given dominion. And so with that dominion comes power and authority. And so if we don't carry out this power and authority to deal with this situation and act like we have dominion, then there's really not going to be anybody to blame but ourselves. And so I'm glad you were able to speak to that young man in that manner and you know, realize that this is the same old story that man has been crying since the beginning of time. Dr. Grant?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that one of the hard parts of doing that is that when we admit that, for men, it's hard to admit failure at anything.
Yeah.
So when we get to a place where we say I did this and it was negative,
mm-hmm.
it's a sense of
mm-hmm.
failure, and then that mm-hmm. becomes a pride issue. And so many men we're prideful, and so we can't. It's hard for us to say, you know what, I failed. But
mm-hmm.
and the other thing that I was just sitting here thinking as you were talking about that, you know, I was thinking about the why. You know, how
mm-hmm.
as men have we really gotten here, you know, on a grand scheme of things. And
mm-hmm.
I can remember as a young man, whether I wanted to go to church or not, I
mm-hmm.
went to church. You know,
yeah.
The foundation was being laid as a youngster. But in today's society, people, you know, don't really, there are people who take their kids to church, don't get me wrong, but
mm-hmm.
it's not like it used to be. I mean, you know, old
mm-hmm.
school things were shut down on Sundays, jobs were closed,
yeah.
and everybody went to church on Sunday morning. And now people have jobs and careers that they have to work on Sunday, and so that may be the reason they don't take their kids. But a lot of young people are missing out on that spiritual foundation. A lot of young people don't know no hymns. You know, they don't know these things that were put down in us. And so when the word says train them up in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Well, if the young men are not being trained, then what will they have to go back to pull for when they become grown? And I think that's why it's so important of what you started, because it's on the men to take the lead, to say we're going to go out here and we first are going to take the first step to get where we need to be. And while we're doing this, then we're going to reach out and we're going to begin to reach out to these young men and tell these young men, you all are the next generation, and begin to help them get the word in them that's necessary so that they too can begin to lead. But it's not going to happen until the men take their rightful place and begin to lead.
Amen, amen. And that's what the enemy is afraid of. He's afraid of, if you can envision this, 100 men in every community teaching their children, their young men, their children, their family, the word of God, and living the word of God, 100 men in every community. Can you imagine the impact that would have, that they would see 100 men in every community looking to God and reaching their children and their families for God and saying, hey, this is the way it should be done. This is our responsibility. We'll lead the way. We'll pick you up. We'll take you there. We'll get you to the place you need to be. We'll drop you back off. We'll teach you. We'll train you. And that's what the enemy is afraid of. He'd rather see the men do anything else but that. And sadly to say that we can find almost anything to do other than the seeking God first and to learning as men our roles and our responsibilities. And like you said, until we do that, until we understand that's our responsibility, then this is the situation we're going to find ourselves in. And that's so powerful that you said that is the vision of the first word, is to jog the minds of the men now to say, hey, we got to prepare this next generation. But we got it. Like you said, when we had to go, when we were instructed that this wasn't an option. And so now it's become a thing of it's optional. And, you know, people say, don't judge me or don't, you know, don't tell me what I should believe, what I shouldn't believe. And instead of saying, this is who God is, and this is the God that's willing to do anything for you to be able to allow you to have that abundant life. And so it's not a thing of judging you. It's the thing of telling you, this is where God wants you to be. This is what's available, and this is who God is. You know, this is who God is, and that's our responsibility. It's your choice if you want to believe it or not, but it's up to us to tell this who God is. And as long as you're in my home, this is the way we're going to do it. And through us doing that, they will have a foundation. They might stray, but they won't depart. They'll have an understanding of this God is. And they'll be like the prodigal son. If they stray, they'll say, I know what I'll do. I know I can go back to my father's house. I can go back and I can get back in the right relationship with them. So that is what we have to continue to teach. And so let's go back to the word and go back to that verse 21, Genesis 3, verse 21. He says, unto Adam also and his wife, the Lord God made coats of skin and clothed them. And this is where we get this situation where God is covering, where God is sacrificing, where innocent blood is being shed. And that's the extent that God is willing to go. Now, we see this in Genesis as a foreshadowing of what Christ was, where Christ lost his, shed his, willingly gave his innocent life. He shed his blood. to cover the sins of God, the sins of man, to put us back in the right relationship with God. And so that's the extent that we have to express to men and to mankind, is that God is willing to shed his innocent blood, to give up his life in order to give us life. So he's willing to die to give us life. And so that's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate love, is that someone was willing to lay down their lives for us. And so if that's the extent that he's willing to go through, then we need to look into this God. Or who is this God that even when I messed up, that even when I didn't do wrong, that even when I disobeyed his command, this is what Adam did, that he's willing to come to me, pay a price for me that I can't pay, and say, I love you, and all you have to do is, by faith, believe it, and then you can be restored back into that relationship with him. That's what I really want us to see, is that that's the extent that God's willing to go. And if he's willing to go to that extent, everything else becomes subcategory to that. That if he's willing to die, he's willing to bring me back in the right relationship. If he can handle my salvation, if he can handle my lostness, if he can handle my fallenness, surely he can handle the rest of the stuff in my life. Dr. Grant.
Amen. Amen. I have to agree with you 110%.
And so what God did in this case, in verse 22, Genesis 3, verse 22, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So what God says is now he's gone to a place where he shouldn't have gone, where now he's responsible of knowing good and evil and knowing the consequences of his choice. He said, I got to put a plan in place to put him out of the place where he can take of the tree of life. Now, this is so important, is that if man would have took part of the tree of life in his fallen state, then he would live forever separated from God. And so, like I said, this didn't take God by surprise. And God knew that if he took of the tree of life while he was in his fallen state, he would live forever separated from God. And so that's what sin does. Sin puts us in a eternal fix, if you will, eternal desperation, if you will, that if we die in a sinful, unforgiving state, then we'll spend eternity separated from God, because that's what sin does. It separates us from God. And so in verse 23, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And in verse 24, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so this is where God is saying he's got to understand that I'm willing to even push him out of his comfort zone, push him out of a place where he was in the Garden of Eden because of this sin, for his own good. And a lot of times what happens is men, we don't understand that we're in these situations, we're in these challenges, we're in these places of discomfort, if you will, because God is saying, I'm looking out for your own good. And it's sort of like dealing with children. It's like, you know, you tell your children to come home at a certain time, or you tell them not to go to certain areas, and they're wondering, why should I have to come home at a certain time? Why shouldn't I go to certain areas? And we as parents, we know that the why is because it's for your own good, because there's something that can happen to you at a certain time or in a certain place, that if I don't put these boundaries upon you, that you can suffer these consequences. So here God is putting boundaries upon man to say, you're in this fallen state, And so I don't want you to partake of this tree of life, because if you partake of this tree of life in your fallen state, then you'll live forever separated from me. And so as men, we have to understand that sometimes the situation we find ourselves in is for our own good. Sometimes God doesn't allow us to go forward. He doesn't allow us to move back. He doesn't allow things that we think should happen to happen at that time, because it's for our own good. Dr. Graham?
That's a great point. That's a great point. And I think that goes back to what you were talking about with Job, and when he told his wife, you know, do we not take the good and the bad? And it's a matter of perception. See, sometimes what we see as bad, like you were saying, is really protection. And if we could get to a place where our faith was that strong, that even when things look bad, where we would get to a place where we could realize and say, okay, well, I trust God, and I know that if this is happening, maybe this is God's way of protecting me from something else.
Mm-hmm. And that has to be something that we have to teach, and we have to teach each other. And I think by us having this first word with men, what will happen is as the situations come up in our lives, and all of us have different situations come up in our lives, we can encourage each other with the word of God to say, hey, you know, be encouraged, brother. You know that God is still working it out for your good, and there's something that you might not see right now that he's preventing from happening that you'll see later on. And so be encouraged. And, you know, as a brother, I would be there praying with you, and whatever I can do to help, that's what I'm going to do. But continue to be encouraged that, you know, God is working it out for your good. And sometimes behind the scenes where we can't see it, God has to put people in place, things in place. He has to mature us. He has to mature the people around us before we can move forward. And sometimes that's not comfortable. that's not where we want to be, because we are emotional. We do see and we do respond for what our you know, natural senses are. But as we stay at the altar, as we stay more in tune spiritually with God, God will give us enough grace and enough ability to be able to trust in him and his word, that we can make it through those times even when we can't see him working it out for our good. And there's a lot of times as young men, I'm sure with your experience, my experience as well, we get to a point where we say, okay, now I know why that I shouldn't have did this. Now I know why it was better for me to stay away from it. Now I know why it was better for me to do X, or it's better to do Y and Z. And so the old song says that we'll understand it better by and by. And when you get to the point where you say, I understand that. I understand, wow, I'm glad that somebody said something to me. I'm glad somebody did this. I'm glad somebody was loving enough to tell me not to do this. Now I understand. And then what happens is we're appreciative to the process that we had to go through in order to help us or prevent us from getting something or not getting something. Dr. Grant.
Amen.
So in this thing of God saying, wow, man's in a precarious state. Let me move him out of here before in his precarious state he takes part of this tree of life and lives forever. He said, I need to make a move on his behalf. To get this in place, because all of his offspring are going to be affected by this sin, by this deception, by this lie from Satan, by this disobedience of man. You know, all of this creation that comes after them is going to be affected by it. And so in looking at that, let's talk about how this encounter with Satan, with God, with Satan, with Adam, with Eve, how it has affected creation from this moment on. I mean, the very beautiful roses or the various different pieces of nature were affected. Even the rose that smells so beautiful, that looks so beautiful, was tainted and became thornful where it could cut and hurt because of sin. And so when man begins to start looking at it like God looked at it, Dr. Grimes, what happens is we begin to start having more compassion in the situation. We begin to start having more understanding in the situation as men to say, this thing has been passed down through generations. This thing has been passed down. When you look at the characters of the Bible, when you look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, Jacob was the trickster, you know, the all of these things that passed down because of sin. And so when we begin to start looking at our families, when we see our sons act up, when we see our daughters act up, when we see things act up, we will begin to get more like God and saying, this can't take me by surprise. And a lot of times we look at certain things that teenagers did, and you say, wow, I know when I was that age, I did this. Or when I was this age, I know the girls did this. And so it doesn't take us by surprise because we know this is the consequence of this encounter that happened in the beginning that begins to start passing this down to generation to generation. And so now we're looking at it like God, and God said, okay, this happened. I need to put something in place to prevent, you know, something further from happening. And we begin to start looking at it like that. Do you understand what I'm saying, Dr. Grimes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So we have a different look at how things are, and we will begin to start not reacting more in the humanness, but we begin to act more in a spiritual sense, that there's a spiritual remedy to this. And so as men, we should be looking for a spiritual remedy to the things that will irritate us or cause us problems in the flesh, because sometimes you get irritated with your children or things, and it's in the flesh, and we turn to the spiritual solution more than we turn to, I mean, we turn to the fleshly solution more than we turn to the spiritual solution. And so as God turns into a spiritual solution, we should also then be turning to a spiritual solution in order for us to be able to deal with it correctly. And so, again, God is setting the example for the men to say, hey, this is the situation you're in, but I'm putting a plan into action so that spiritually you won't live separated from God, but you can live back in fellowship with God because of your spiritual decision. And so that is the track that the first word is trying to get men to say, is that, hey, you know, we live in a physical world, but God is a spirit, and we should be in tune with him spiritually so much that when things happen, we should be able to look for a spiritual solution to help guide whatever is happening in the natural. And when we begin to start understanding that example that God has given, I think we can begin to start having more positive impacts on our families, on our churches, and our community, because we're saying, okay, this is the example that God did. You know, even though that things are a little off the chain, even though emotionally I want to scream, I want to yell, I want to, you know, act out, let me turn back spiritually to understand that this is what is the result of what's been passed down through generations. And so my response is that I should understand it's been passed down through generations, not get caught up in the flesh, but get caught up in what the Spirit said, and understand that God has the ability, the resource, to be able to deal with it. Dr. Grimes?
Amen. Amen. The spiritual, so basically the spiritual decisions should override the physical decisions.
Yes. Yeah.
And by making that spiritual decision, now you have the protection from your physical decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks like we got another caller on the line. Wanted to see if they wanted to contribute last four digits, phone number 7378. We're going to try to tune them in, see if they wanted to make a statement. Caller, you on the line, 7378. Would you like to make a statement?
Oh, hello. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who is this?
My name is Reginald McCall. And I just joined in. Reginald
okay.
McCall.
Okay. Nice to go ahead.
I'm school college mates to Jason Grimes, and
okay.
I just saw a post on Facebook this morning. You know, I've been up since like 5 o'clock, haven't been able to get to sleep, so
okay.
Just wanted some positive words. I know that you all came on at 6:30. I just chimed in about seven
okay.
minutes ago. But yeah, I mean, what she said just now about acting and living and reacting in the flesh. I mean, a lot of people do that. That's what I'm trying to work with right now, you know, because I feel as if I'm very compassionate for people. I love all people, and I just want the betterment of man. But, you know, I also have my ways, you know, don't want to keep on going back on I'm only human, even though I am.
Right.
But it's a work in progress, even though you might flip back. It's the whole thing of doing less of it, you know, because we're not perfect. And, you know, that's just my chime in. It's, you know, more so not trying to be perfect, but just trying to do less of what you know is wrong.
Amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate you tuning in. And if you're just tuning in, the archives, and that's for everyone, this show that started at 6:30 will be available to you online probably about 30 minutes after you go off the air. That would be at www.blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid. And then if you scroll down to the on-demand section, you'll get this week on the first word. And that's where we're encouraging everyone to give their address, website, web address is www.blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid. And you can get the episode in its entirety. But we just appreciate you dialing in. And that's something to, you know, just to say, hey, we're not perfect, but we just want to make sure that, you know, we're not doing over and over the same things that you know, we know that's not right. And, you know, that's what the first word, this is what we're trying to do, is just to have a forum where men can come together and say, hey, this is real, you know, get a little encouragement from each other to say, hey, there is a better way. You know, I want to be an example. You said you're compassionate about people, and, you know, that's the way we should be. We should be compassionate about trying to, as men, make a positive impact everywhere we go.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So we appreciate you calling in. What's your name again? Mine is
slipping
a little bit.
Reginald McCall.
Reginald
yeah,
McCall.
Washington,
right.
D.C.
All right. Dr. Grimes, you have anything to share with Reginald?
I'm just glad he came in. Me and Reggie go way back to Morgan State University back in 98. Stayed in Baldwin Hall. Good guy. And so I'm glad that he was able to join us this morning. I look forward to fellowshipping with him soon. And, you know, another brother in the fold, iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Yep. Iron sharpens iron. Every aspect,
and that's what this is. So we're encouraging Reggie. That's my brother's name. My younger brother's name is Reggie. But we're encouraging brothers to tune in to call in because what you say can help me. Like you said, the iron sharpens iron. What I say can help you. And there's certain things that God is expecting men to. Help each other with. We're the ones that have been given the responsibility. And we were talking about earlier that God is willing to go to any extent to help man to get back into the right relationship with him. And so if we can get that fever where we saying we're willing to go to any extent to help us as men to get back to where we need to be. I think that will be a positive impact on our communities, and our families, and our churches. I know during the first word episode, I talked about looking around in our churches, in our homes, and seeing that a lot of times it's the women that are not only trying to play their role, but also trying to play the role of the man, and that's not what God wants. That's not what he intends to do. Brother Rex?
Yeah, I mean, I totally believe that, you know. I mean, same here. I mean, I figured that, and, you know, I felt that when I was previously married, you know, because I had a very strong spirit. I mean, God creates creatures, you know, he doesn't create weak creatures, so. My wife is very strong, you know, and that was just something that we had to go through, you know, because, you know, most women are independent throughout their lives.
Mm-hmm.
When they do find a man that they want to be with, you know, it's kind of hard for them to, you know, let go of everything, your responsibility.
It's a challenge.
You know, yeah, it's very challenging, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
and that's one of the things. Go ahead. But that's one of the things that we as men can, you know, help each other with. You know, the biggest thing as men is to realize that none of this, and Dr. Grimes and I were talking about this earlier, that none of this catches God by surprise. He understands the woman, and he understands that they're strong. He understands that if they've been independent by themselves, that it's going to be a challenge for them when they get involved with the man. And so when we as men realize this doesn't catch God by surprise, what it does is it gives us the ability to continue to go back to God, to be able to have that Job mentality. When his wife told him that, you know, because of the situation, the unpleasant situation, that he should curse God and die. And, you know, if that was me, I don't know about you, Reggie or Dr. Grimes, I might have had some choice words for it. But because he had that relationship with God,
you know, they could twist their arm and say the sweet thing to you and get you to, you know, to do almost anything sometimes.
And he remained smooth, and he said, "You sound like one of the foolish women." I mean, he said, "You know, should we get good from God and not evil?" You know, and that's the way we have to go back to God, and we have to learn to. When these challenges come up, to say, hey, you know, God has given me dominion over this world, you know, and if he's given me dominion, he's given me the authority, he's given me the power, he's given me the ability to be able to handle everything that comes up in this world. And once we have that understanding, when the women act foolish, we should be able to, with prayer and guidance from God, be able to handle that too. Dr. Grimes?
Amen.
Yeah, that's all you can say to that one. That one stick.
And that's what we're looking to do, and we're inviting men to come in. We're here at the church at 6:30. We're on the line every Sunday morning, but this is our forum. And, again, Brother Reggie, we thank you. Dr. Grimes, as always, we thank you. Spread the word. Let people know that, you know, this is the first word. We're getting up early. We talk about men's issues. We're encouraging each other. We're sharpening each other. And we know that through the power of God, it's going to make an impact not only in our lives but in the lives of our families, our churches, and in our communities. So anything else you guys wanted to add or say, shout out or anything before we have our closing prayer?
Nope, I'm just blessed to have caught the call because I really thought I missed it, you know. I'm glad to be a part of something like this because I've been wanting to try to get back to my home church or just, you know, get into the word more often on a day-to-day basis because, I mean, I'm not really a reader. But I'll read if I have to, but I'm more so, you know, I like to, like you say, sharpen iron. I'd rather conversate and talk to about it as opposed to reading, but I understand you have to read first to get your own understanding. And, you know, that's just where I am right now. It just happened to pop up. You know, I don't always catch Jason's pop-ups coming through. So, I mean, to me, I just felt like it was led by God. So I just asked online, you know, plus, like Jason said, we've been trying to hook up and fellowship for a while now. So I just looked at this as another way to try to make the relationship that we have a little stronger, you know, and just to continue to, you know, get fellowship.
Amen. Jason?
I'm just looking forward to next week, and, you know, I'm glad Reggie came on. It was in my spirit strong to put it on in Facebook and put it on to the Word on the Street page, and, you know, I'm just thankful that God was able to reach someone, you know, and so that when they have another number in the fold, and I just pray that God continues to give us the increase, and we can continue to learn and glean from each other.
Amen. Amen. Again, just want to give the address for anyone that's wanting to go back and catch it on demand, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid. It's PASTORSAID. And you can go back and hear any of the first words. All right, we have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for putting it in our spirits, God, that you have blessed the man to be in the proper relationship with you, God, and that you have gone through any length to get us back in that proper relationship. So, God, we pray that through your ministry here, that we can be trainers of men, we can be encouragers of men, God, that we can be those that support each other, that we will be the men that you have called us to be, God. We thank you for Brother Reggie, Brother Grimes, God. We thank you for their input, God. We thank you for your word, God, that encourages us, that we have a great role and great responsibility, but we have a great Heavenly Father that will go to any length to be able to guide us in the things that you have called us. And so, God, we pray that this will continue to grow and that it will continue to bring your name honor, glory, and praise. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brother,
amen.
We'll let you go. And prayerfully, we'll hear from you next Sunday on the first word. God bless. Have a great Sunday.
Bye. Thank you. God bless.